Christ is born.
Glorify him.
Welcome. It's glad to have you all here. It's good. You're not flying today?
Not so far.
Oh, you mean you're on call? Wow. Well, at least you didn't fly when it was kind of bad this morning. He's a pilot with one of the airlines here. Lynn, it's always good to see you here with us. Steve, same. And how are you, ladies? Okay. You've been here before? Right. And but not for liturgy. You're here for Vespers, right? Good. Really good. You can see how I'm doing then? Okay? Good. We're glad to have you here. You got any food, Petrushka?
Yes, sir.
Huh? We had it. Kevin, something went wrong with his car, and he's supposed to be bringing the food, so you're going to get whatever's available this morning. Okay? Sort of like starting the fast early. Herod the Great ordered the slaughter of the innocents. There are many Herods, as kings. Herod Antipas, son of Herod the Great, put John to death, and he was ruler of Galilee when Jesus was crucified. So Herod was a common name for the kings. And what were they afraid of? That they, imagine that, sending out your army and say, slaughter every child under the age of two. What are you afraid of? Mother Teresa gave a speech one time here in America to some group of people like a press club or something, and she said to them about abortion. What is it you're afraid of with these little children? What frightens you of these little children? And we say the same thing to the kings. What were they afraid of? Well, what they were afraid of is that they wouldn't be king anymore. That Jesus, the Christ, the Anointed, would replace them as king. And being king was more important to them than being in a right relationship with God. So God was not the most important thing in their life. Being a king was. That was their false god, if you would. So often we think of false gods only as idols. The Old Testament has many stories regarding false idols. The Israelites, right, made the golden calf. One of my favorite stories about idols is, you know, in the old days of like around Abraham's time and so on, there were a lot of the people had household gods. And when you moved around, you took your little household gods. They were like little trinkets. And you had a little bag, and you put them in this bag, and off you went. So you picked up your tent and all your stuff, and you packed up your camels and so on, and you went off and you had your bag of household gods. And you set them up at the next place. We still have people that do that to this day. You ever go to a bingo thing? They all have these little creatures all around their carts. Yeah, I can tell some of you have been there. You know, when I was a uni, that's what I, you know, they had, unfortunately, they had bingo in the church. And at that time, Deacon Joseph was the outspoken one against this. But there would be all these little plastic creatures, crickets or whatever, around these bingo cards. And truly, they were false gods. What were they there for? To bring me luck. So we have to be careful because we can be so easily taken in there. Listen, we still, most of us subscribe to these household gods and the little pouch and all that. We all have them with us. Look in your purse. Reach for your hip pocket. It's called a wallet. It's a special little bag. And what do we put in there? The modern idols. Money. People do anything for money. And a lot of it illegal for money. But money in America is a false god. If we ask, okay, we would say, I'm not guilty of violating the First Commandment. We're into moral theology with Julie at this point, right? And that's one of the things we looked at was the First Commandment. By not having false gods instead of the one true God. We say, well, I'm good on that. You know, if we have a life confession, that's all right. I'll pass on first, you know, maybe some of the others I violated, but not the first. But truly, if we look into our lives, anything that adversely affects our relationship with Jesus is a false god. And they abound wherever that happens. Now, God will not tolerate it. God himself says of honoring false gods that he's a jealous God. He himself said this. We go to Exodus to the 20th chapter, and he says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God." That's speaking himself, tells you, I am a jealous God. Do not think that I will tolerate these things. Do not think that. Jesus does not limit the prohibition against worshiping false idols just to golden calves. Let's look at Matthew's gospel. This is what he says in the 11th, in the 10th chapter. "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." That's right. You know how much we love our children. Aunt Marie went back early this morning. So if Matushka and I look tired, they had the town car arrive at 3:45 in the morning. So it's hard to go back to sleep after all that hubbub. But anyway, you know, she was here, and we have great love for our daughter. But God says, me first. Me first. "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." You see, he doesn't limit it to these false gods, to these little crickets or plastic knickknacks at the bingo game, but he says anything. And he picks two of the things we might love the most in the world, and he says, you can't love those more than me. Now in the church, unfortunately, we've got false gods. Maybe you saw in the paper. How embarrassed that at the church at Bethlehem, after the services, they were cleaning up. And the Armenians have charge of one section and the Greek Orthodox another. And the priests got into a fight. Anybody see this? Or am I the only one? Michael, you and I. So you can vouch that I didn't make this up. Because you know, it would almost think you'd have to make it up. What sin? What shame. What idolatry. But you know that idolatry of that nationalism permeates the Orthodox Church. And the shame that we have in this country that we violate the very directives of the ecumenical councils. So unheard of to have more than one bishop in the same territory. So that false god of nationalism is there. And orthodoxy is fracturing, and it's of the church, and it's both a disgrace and a cause of scandal. I cannot tell you how tired I get of having people meet me, and I say, "Well, I'm Orthodox." And what do I hear? "Are you Greek Orthodox? No. Are you Russian Orthodox? Are you Bulgarian?" You know. And I say, "I was born in America." See if that helps. It's insanity that we, the Orthodox, are the ones who have perpetrated this. Shame on us, the false god of nationalism. And you go to many of those churches, and let me tell you, they are more whatever the nationality is than they are Orthodox. That's one thing about being here. We practice a strict discipline of orthodoxy. And then it's not the whatever American club, you know, put whatever country you want in front of that. In our and while I'm at it with our churches, I always like to be truthful. I don't want to pick on the Byzantine Catholics that I was when I told you about the bingo and say, "Well, there's others." Somebody gave me this. And it's a card with the picture of St. Nicholas on the front. And on the back, and this came from a Orthodox church, "Prayer for the evil eye." Can you imagine this? Can you imagine? And it says, translated by the priest and all that. You know, my ancestors all came from Italy. My parents came from the old country, okay? And I know I had aunties, you know, who talked about, it's called Moloik in Italian, means like about the same thing. These were peasants. We might expect that from them, okay? But when we start having a church sanctioning this with cards that have prayers dealing with the evil eye, somebody puts the evil curses on you and all that. Be not afraid, Jesus said. Be not afraid. What do you have to fear from evil eyes and all that? Not if you eat his flesh and drink his blood, because then you have life in you. And the life that's in you cannot be destroyed. Now, he told us to be careful of the devil. He said that's the one to be worried, watchful for. Okay, be watchful against. But with God, there comes strength. So you see, these false idols can be even these kinds of I don't know what you want to call them, lore or whatever. Okay? But in our country, we have many false gods. You know, one of our biggest false gods? Entitlement. Entitlement. You ever watch that? I don't watch much commercial TV, but when I flip through or in the morning riding my exercise bicycle and I'm watching a show and the commercial comes on, the key word I found out is deserve. Get the whatever, and it is they're selling, you deserve. You deserve. It's all entitlement. Listen, the government brought it on itself. Here in another few weeks, we'll be remembering one of the most evil and the most corrupt decision of the United States Supreme Court, Roe versus Wade. And under the guise of that idol of entitlement, we slaughter our children. We put Herod to shame. We put Herod to shame with the slaughter of the innocents. All of you know that in my other life, I'm a lawyer. I read Roe versus Wade. It is nothing but fakery. The Constitution of the United States has no provision for a right of privacy, that entitlement that they hung their hat on to legislate abortion from the bench. By people who were appointed by a presidents of the United States and not elected by a single soul. But all under the guise of this God of entitlement. We have the God of secularism. God and his laws don't count. Man can solve everything. Everything can be solved by man. And of course, man causes everything. We know that global warming. That's the whole attraction of that. Okay? It's that, what? We did it all. But don't worry, we can fix it all. And we don't need God for anything. One of the great idols of our country, the false idols, is youth. We see no value in our older people. And you know, I think we start selling them that nonsense. We sell them that foolishness. Where they don't even act as though they're worthy of being acknowledged as there should be wisdom with age, right? Instead, we see our old people acting crazy. Dressing ridiculously. Okay. Only concerned with dissipation. I can't wait to retire so I can play golf. I can do this and do this and do this. And I said to people who are retired, I said, listen, you are rich. You are rich in time. You have a tremendous amount of time to give to the works of the Lord. But you see, youth is that idol. And so we keep busy. We play golf. We go get a facelift. We do all these things. And at night we pay homage at the altar of the God of youth. Sex. Just turn on television movies and you'll see. If a Martian came and watched three TV shows or three movies, he'd go back and say, we have seen their God. It is sex. Okay? Materialism and greed. Goes right along hand in hand with all of this. So you say, well, thank God we're not a blessing. But Father, still, those are the evils of the country. Those are the evils of the church. But they're not my false idols. Well, there are false gods that are of ourselves. I think one of the greatest is egotism, I call it. I'm the most important thing. It's a lack of altruism. It's a lack of giving of the self. And it goes hand in hand with pride. I'm so important. Whatever I decide is correct. Oh, we have that. Listen, if I believe this and you believe that, mine is good, yours is good, we're all happy, and mine's just as good as yours. So we have people worshiping trees and painting themselves blue, and that's the same as being a true believer in the apostolic church founded by Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago because of what? My opinion is just as good as your opinion. Egotism. Not a willingness to subject ourselves hand in hand with pride. And we have lots of that with people involved with the church. I don't want to need any priest to tell me how to live. I don't care what the church says about that. I might do. You've all heard that. Maybe we've all said that. Drug or alcohol is one of the great gods in this country. One of the great gods. I see it in my, you know, in my practice. They worship at that altar, and it's self-consuming. But you know, we have another one of these gods that we all say is a great addiction. Workaholics. That could be our false god. Oh, what a wonderful fellow. Works day and night. Nobody ever says, oh God, what a rascal, he works day and night. We hold that up as something good in America. Of course, they don't do anything to raise their children. They're never at home. The wife never sees them. But what a fine person. Working day and night. Excessive and non-prioritized leisure time. Time spent at the computer. The computer of which 10% studies show is used for pornography. On just hours after hours. Television, it's the new TV. Television watching is going down. I don't know if you know that. Studies show TV watching is going down because why? They're spending time on the computer. And people say to me, I don't have time to pray. I said, well, okay, let's look at the day. How much time did you spend watching TV yesterday? How much time did you spend on the internet? You see, a dissipation is our false god. And in this country, what? You know the proof that we dissipation is our god? Watch them when they're jogging. They all got earphones on. Nobody wants to be alone with themselves. They want to be entertained even when they're out jogging. And what a wonderful time that is to pray. Right? You're alone. You say, we're in the car. But we got to have all the noise and so on in the car. Again, anything that keeps us from a right relationship with God is a false god, for we're worshiping it instead of God himself. And he even says to Moses about that jealous God. Let's look at this again in Exodus now, going to the 34th chapter, and he says this to Moses, for thou shalt worship no other god, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. And jealous is capitalized. He says, my name is Jealous. Me first. Why not him first? Who does it belong to except for him? Who does it belong to except for God himself? You know, he said in the 38th chapter of the book of Job, God says this to Job. He says, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Where were you? He says, where were you when I declared, if thou hast understanding? He says, who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Who made the size of the earth? He says, whereupon are the foundations thereof fashioned? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut up the sea with doors when it breaketh forth, as if it had issued out of the womb? He says, where were you when I did all that? You weren't even in existence, right? If we go to the creation stories, what's the last thing he always does, right? And God created man. That's last. And everything that's in the world is his. And so that's what we want to be sure that we keep as our priority. God first. Nothing that gets in the way of God first do we let into our lives, because those are the false gods. Right? So we celebrate then that Jesus came into the world to save us, became one of us. And all he asks in return is that we love him above all other things. Christ is born.
Glorify him.